Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back and to have you back as we continue looking into the book of 1 John, as we've been doing the last few Sundays. And we'll see how far we get today. We're ready for chapter 4. We have some interesting stuff coming up here. We're talking about testing the spirits to see if they're of God, and how we can know, how we can test the spirits, and moving on, we're going to be talking about the love of God, or that God is love. There's a lot in here, and I think we'll just pause and ask the Holy Spirit to be here with us. Dear God, we just thank you so much for your word that we have it here before us. We thank you, Father, that your Holy Spirit is here and that is going to guide us into all truth, and we just pray that you would make this clear to us today, that you would give us direction. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you're all going to be free with your thoughts here as we go through this. Just a few things here on, as we finished off chapter 3 last week. We have verse 23 of the chapter 3. It says, "Now this is his command, that we believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he commanded us." That seems to kind of be the flowing theme throughout the book. Or that's kind of what it goes back to so often, is to believe in the Son of God and to love each other. It seems like you can't really have one or the other. You have them both, or you don't have them at all. And verse 24 then says, "The one who keeps his commands remains in him, and he in him. The way we know he remains in us is from the Spirit he has given us." According to that, we gain assurance of God's presence in our lives, that he abides in us. And Paul also says in Romans 8 that the Spirit testifies that we are God's children. And a lot of these things, Paul and John, they had many of the same things that they said, or they agreed very much in what they had to say. We'll just read the first few verses there in the chapter 4 then. I love the way he starts there. You can tell that the love of God was really key in his life, as he, time and time again, he introduces, or he calls them beloved or dear friends. Where you could just see that he had great tenderness and love for the people that he was writing to. He starts in verse chapter 1, "Dear friends," and then he goes on again in verse 7, he again says, "Dear friends, let us love one another." Verse 11, he says, "Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we must also love one another." So you can just tell that this was something that he wasn't just something he was saying off the top of his head. This was in his heart. He was, it was real to him. So let's see what we can get out of this here. "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to determine if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit who confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit who does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. You have heard that he is coming, and he is already in the world now. You are from God, little children, and you have conquered them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. For this we know the spirit. From this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. So we're commanded here to test the spirits. We're not just supposed to believe everything that everybody says. We're supposed to test as people speak, as you observe people's doctrine and conduct, you should discern whether they are being led by the true Spirit of God or if they're not. I'll just open it up if somebody has some thoughts on how do we do that in 2018? How do we test the spirits? You know, there's a lot of times that people can come up with a phrase that sounds good, or a small part of maybe a phrase out of the Bible, and build a doctrine off of that. Is not necessarily the complete gospel. So, yeah, I don't know if anybody has anything they want to share. Just feel free.
When we talk about using discernment, should we trust in our own discernment, or should we rely heavily on our brothers to have a better discernment, I guess.
Okay. It's wide open.
Maybe a comment. Sorry about that. Too close. Maybe a comment to Wayne is, if we all wait on our brother, nobody might talk. If we all wait on our brother, nobody might speak. Like, there has to be, I think everybody should be communicating what they see, but then there has to be a giving, a blending of hearts. But the first thing you read there today was if they deny Christ, that's false. That's Antichrist, right? If they do not recognize Jesus, then it is a false spirit that we're supposed to test and say that that's not of the kingdom of God. A couple other verses I just thought I would throw out is Romans 8, verse 15. It says, and this is speaking about the Spirit of God, says, and we have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry, Abba, Father. The doctrine that we're testing, is that causing us to cry out to God as a father? If it is, that's one way we can test it. Another one is 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord, there's freedom. If we're following a doctrine or teaching that is taking us down, is discouraging us, is destroying us, is not bringing us to freedom in Christ, then that it also needs to be recognized as that is a false doctrine.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
this thing here about testing the spirits, from like first reading, you read over it and it sounds pretty easy. If somebody confesses Jesus Christ, then obviously he's part of the body. But when you're actually talking about the spirit, it's more than just a casual association with a person. You have to get to know that person, and you have to be able to get to know him, relate to him, and as you do that, you'll catch on what's going on in his life, whether it's just a lip service or whether it's actually a thing that's coming from his heart, is the way I see it.
Okay. Yes, go ahead there.
I guess I would have a question to that. Is this referring to people talking to us or demons talking to us, the spiritual world? Because most of where our deception lies isn't necessarily in the humans around us. It's in the spirits that are telling us lies. And you know, there are evil spirits that will confess that Jesus. The Bible tells us that the demons believe that Jesus, but they remain unsaved. Is it that they deny in the reality of what Jesus came in the flesh to do for us? They deny the power of the gospel. I don't know. It's be a question.
Okay, we have another question. Maybe not anybody want to comment on?
It starts out by saying, believe not every spirit, but then it's specifically talking of false prophets.
And I guess my question to that question is, What's a prophet look like in today's age?
Okay. Well, yeah, anybody's can feel free to share. I think my first thought on that would be a false prophet would be somebody that claims to speak for God but actually is speaking under demonic influence. That's, I don't know. Anybody? We don't on a regular basis anyways have people saying that they're a prophet or that they're prophesying, but we have the New Testament speaking about prophecy, prophesying. Not necessarily just future stuff, just I don't think that's at least all that it's speaking about.
Just another question on top of that. Is there a difference then between a teacher or a prophet?
All right, that's yours to answer.
Maybe we need to define what a prophet is, but I used to think a prophet is somebody who looks into the future and predicts things, but ultimately, isn't a prophet just someone who shares the word?
Other places in the New Testament, it has pretty much the same warning regarding false teachers. And to beware of false teachers, I can't tell you exactly where, but Is it Paul's writings where he refers to false teachers? Almost word for word the way John is referring to false prophets. So my take is that they're one and the same. Teachers, preachers, just different terminology. But
okay. We can
Ephesians talks about, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. I think there's a lot of similarities, but I think there's a bit of difference. A verse in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10 says, talking about spiritual gifts, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. I found that interesting. There's a gift of discerning of spirits.
Right along with that, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29, it says, two or three prophets should speak, and the others should evaluate. So,
I guess to be fair to my question, I'll give you my perspective, and then you can do with it what you want, but my perspective is that it's a combination of humans and spirits. Sometimes we're affected by what people say. But I remember a time in my life I would be laying in my bed and I would hear voices in my head that would tell me to do very evil and corrupt things, and there was nobody else there except the devil trying to snuff out my life. So it's a combination of spirit. They come to us in many ways. But they will always deny the day that my life changed is the day I understood that just admitting that Jesus died on the cross isn't enough. We need to accept the power that comes through a resurrected life to set me free from all of these multitudes of things that we all face, right? And so my personal testimony, it isn't so much that the person doesn't acknowledge that Jesus died and rose and all those things. He has his doctrines lined up. But does he deny the resurrection power of Christ in the life? And that's where Satan is opposed to. He's opposed to the resurrection power of Christ. And anybody that tries to snuff that out is not of Christ. And sometimes we don't have time to walk with people that long, right? We need to have that sense from God to sharpen ourselves to know what that is. And I, like Wayne's first question, I think there are people who can discern spirits better than others, and that's why we need each other. Because depending where we are, we won't discern. We need our brothers and sisters to help us see it. And I think that would be my perspective. And I think that's why God gave us the church, to help us.
Thank you for that. I think right along with that, there's the verse 4, it says, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So, as we have the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit dwells in us, it will either go along with, like, if the Holy Spirit is in us, the spirit of the Antichrist is going to be opposed to that completely. They don't go together. I think in the day that John was writing this, there was a lot of false teachers that were claiming that that Jesus had only he had only appeared to. I had a note here. I just lost my. Here it is. False teachers claimed that Jesus had only appeared to be human, and that he wasn't really. But we know, according to Scripture, that he was totally human and totally God. However, the human mind can hardly wrap around that, but that is what the Bible teaches. So, and we have a lot of people as well, like cults and stuff, religions that would maybe acknowledge that Jesus was a good person, or he was a prophet, but they would deny the deity and the full humanity of Jesus. But and we know right away from these verses that that's totally off. That is the spirit of the Antichrist that is at work. And going on here to verse from 4 to 6 there, he makes some pretty strong statements, saying, you know, if anybody listens to us, they're of God. If they don't listen to us, they're not of God. So I think that makes it so important that we don't claim to be something that we're not. And if we claim to be led by the Spirit, it will totally line up with Scripture. It's not going to have ourself lifted up, or it won't have ourself running the, won't be me running the show. It's going to be the Word of God and His Spirit, His power that's going to be doing it. Because we had read earlier, I think in chapter 2, of where some that had been with them, they had left. And I think that's kind of what he's referring to here again. Any other thoughts on this first part here, or we'll go into the next one? We can always come back if we need to.
Just thinking about the what Ron said, Jesus. Maybe I harp on this, but Jesus made some statements pretty clear of what's going to follow people that believe in him. My question is, if we deny that, and there's a lot of people that do that, they say, well, that's not for our day. Is that not denying Christ? If we deny the power that he said would follow those that believe him? And if we deny that, are we not Antichrist?
Okay. Anybody want to comment?
I would suggest that maybe it was just to test the spirits, is just to see whether they're on board. That Jesus came in the flesh, that's a central theme of Christianity, and there's many other religions where it's not, and they still have good things they want to offer. And it's just, in my opinion, it's just that you check whether they're on board, whether Jesus and what he did is the central theme or whether it's not.
Okay.
I just have a question with verse 6 there. That one stands out to me. Who is the us and the we in that verse?
Okay, I'm waiting for somebody to answer that one. It says, we are from God. Go ahead there.
I was just going to point that out, that it says that we are from God, so it would be those that are of God.
Okay. That's pretty simple.
Just a thought from Revelations 19, verse 10. This is John as well, and something just it clarifies something in my mind. Continuing with the thought, we are of God. This verse 10, it says, John, and I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. That is another way to try the spirits. When someone loves when people praise them or worship them rather than God, this person told John, stop, do not worship me, worship, I'm your fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Alvin over here, or whoever.
Okay, we are of God. John said that. So it's kind of interesting if we just think of it from his perspective. And he says, he who knows God hears us. So maybe another way to test would be to if they believe what John is saying. Because John, some people just don't believe the scriptures. If people don't accept the scriptures for what they are, they failed the test, right? So in that respect, can you imagine if you got a letter from an apostle and he'd say, you're doing great, you're doing fine, you'd have quite the assurance. And I appreciate that you're trying to make it more personal than that, but John was speaking to these people and saying, this is the truth, I'm telling you the truth, and if people don't accept it, you know the truth about that.
Very true. Go ahead.
I find it interesting that in verse 4, or sorry, 5, it says, they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. Maybe that's another way to discern whether somebody's speaking the truth or not, because if the world accepts their gospel, it's not truth. I don't know if that's significant or not, but if people love what you're saying, maybe we should look in the mirror and say, is it truth? Because people don't tend to flock after truth.
Good point. Okay, we'll just go on to the next part then. I appreciate that. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us and his love is perfected in us. This is how we know that we remain in him and he in us. He has given assurance to us from his Spirit, and we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent his Son as the world's Savior. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God, and we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. In this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, for we are as he is in the world. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. So there's quite a bit of stuff in here again. You know, when you read verses like this, that love is from God, and then the next verse, that God is love, you find out that really what the world, or what is generally thought of as love, it's quite a ways off, or it's a totally different, two totally different things anyway. In verse 7 here, love completes the picture of life and fellowship with God. And love is presented as a consequence of, not a precondition for being born of God. And that is, in that way, it's not possible for unbelievers to love. It sometimes seems it's almost hard for us as believers to love that way. And with our own strength, we cannot do that. That is for sure. I'll just, if anybody has anything to share, go ahead. It's hard to wrap our minds around that completely, because the very nature of God is love. It says in John 17, verse 24, Father, I desire those you have given me to be with me where I am, then they will see my glory which you have given me, because you loved me before the world's foundation. So that's the relationship that the Father, God the Father, and God the Son have had from eternity past. It's just been a relationship of love. That was the eternal love between the persons of the Trinity even before the world was created. God's love is the ultimate source of any love that Christians are able to display, and which we just read here in verse 11, 12, and verse 19. You can make a command to love somebody, but it doesn't happen just from the natural man. Then we have in verse 9 there, the ultimate expression of God's love. God the Son came and gave his life for the sins of the whole world. That's really the reason that we can be here today, and the reason that we can even talk about this today, or the reason that any of us have a desire to look into this, is because of the love that God had for us. not because we had anything to offer. Verse 10, love consists in this, not that we love God, like we were totally dead in trespasses and sins. We were by nature children under wrath. It had nothing to do with us, but it had all to do with Him. Ephesians 2 says that He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that... Sorry, that's not the right reference there. That's actually in 2 Corinthians 5. It says, He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Sin brings divine wrath on the cross. Jesus bore that wrath for our sins. That's the gospel. How can we be sure that if God abides in us or not? There's a lot of verses that some of which we've gone over before, and some that we just did here, but in chapter 2, in verse 3, it says, by this we may be sure that we know Him. In chapter 2, verse 5, it says, by this we may be sure that we know Him. In chapter 3, verse 10, by this it may be seen who are the children of God. In verse 14 of chapter 3, we know that we have passed out of death into life. Verse 19, by this we shall know that we are of the truth. In verse 24 of chapter 3, by this we know that He abides in us. And then today we read verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. And also in verse 6, by this we know the Spirit of truth. In chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, by this we know that we love the children of God. In verse 13, I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. So He wants us to be sure. He wants us to be sure not to keep wondering. He wants to rid us of any doubts, and if there is doubts, we can know how to test that. Is there any thoughts on these verses? We've got another few more minutes to try to wrap this part up here if we can, so if anybody has any thoughts, just feel free to share them. Any questions, whatever?
Just thinking of verse 11 there, it says, if God loved us, and it's referring to the love that in verse 10 there, that He went to the cross for our sins. If He loved us that way, we're supposed to love each other in the same way. And I know when we talk about love, there's a lot of counterfeit, or there's always a counterfeit to it, right, in the world. But I think it's talking about unconditional love. So if God, or if Jesus allowed Himself to go to the cross and be trampled by all the sins of the world, I think God's calling us to do that the same to our fellow men and our brethren, to allow ourselves to be trampled in an unconditional way, and just to keep giving and keep giving. And I know for myself, I can't do that unless I have the same love of God in my heart.
So true. Is that section also still like a condition for picking out false prophets, or is this kind of changing the subject?
I don't know that I really have an answer for you, Matt, but I couldn't help but notice that I think the book of John here is to us what Jesus' answer was to John's disciples when John was in prison and he sent his disciples to ask Jesus to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah or do we watch for another one? And Jesus didn't answer yes or no. He told these disciples, go and tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the mute speak, the sick are healed. He didn't give John the answer, which would have been in doubt again as soon as he got it. He gave him the proof of the answer. And I just couldn't help but notice that this book of John is exactly that to believers. John gives us the evidence and lets us make the decision whether we are believers or not.
Thank you. Did you have an answer on that? Or another thought? Not really. Whatever.
At the end of the chapter talks, if somebody does not love, he is a liar. And if he'd be a liar, then he would also be a false prophet in that sense. But I also noticed, agreeing with what Titus had said there about verse 10, showing real love, and how that's the way we know whether, there's a lot of times love is expressed, it seems that love is expressed when if you treat me right, I'll treat you right, and then that in that way love, it looks like love, and yet it isn't real love. And that's the way we can even check ourselves when we are being attacked, when our reputation is being attacked, or when we're being trampled or whatever, our response to that shows whether we have real love or whether it's fake love.
Very true. Jesus came and he was treated like that by his enemies, and we sometimes we feel that our brother or person that we're relating to is our enemy, but really that's a high calling and we can't do that on our own for sure. Well, our time is here to close. We might visit a few of these verses next time yet before we go into chapter 5, but thank you for your participation.